verses tonight, so we're going to pick up there, Colossians chapter number 1, and we're dealing with several verses here in a row. That's one continuous thought, it's one continuous sentence here in the Paul writing to the book, the Church of Colossae. It starts here in verse number 9 and goes all the way through verse number 17, this one continuous sentence of these things that he is praying and also reminding the church at Colossae about these things. And again, we're calling this the Epistle of the Last Days because it was told that it was supposed to be read in Laodicea. Laodicea is the last church age, doctrinally speaking, dispensationally speaking. It's the last church age before the rapture of the church. And so there's a closeness there, and there's some things that will help us and encourage us in these last days here in the book of Colossians. All the other books do as well, but we're just looking at this because of its closeness to Laodicea here for a while. So I'm going to read verse number 9 all the way down through verse number 17, and then we're going to pick up, I believe, tonight in verse number 11 is where we're going to be. So it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." And here's what we'll pick up tonight. "Strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins." I love that verse. I was reading today an article about MacArthur that doesn't believe that Christ's blood had anything to do with nothing. But man, it has everything to do with our salvation. You find blood all through the Bible, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And I'm thankful for my salvation. Verse number 15, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." So this is one continuous thought that Paul has, and there's the period that finally ends for those verses. So we covered verse number 10, I believe, last week, and I didn't have any of this filled out, so hopefully everybody has. I ask every week. I got two more left. Does anybody need the notes? All right here in the back. It's just one, so I'll paperclip together for you. Julia back there in the back. Anybody else need it? Okay. All right, so give one to her as well. And if you need any other ones you're missing, we can get those to you. And all the lessons are online. So, all right. So we can fill these out. I know last week my setup wasn't working. So we talked about walking worthy of the Lord, and I'm not going to go over all that again. We spent plenty of time dealing with this subject, and that's something that we need to strive to do: walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing Him in everything. All right, so has everybody got that before I move on? We're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, give an account of everything that's done in the flesh. All right, unto all pleasing, Christians should try to please God in every aspect of their life, in everything that they do. And this is something that we absolutely should try to strive for. There's some verses with that. Again, if you want to get some of these notes even after church, I'll bring this back up if you want me to, so you could fill them out. Talked about increasing the knowledge of God. All right, so chapter 1 and verse number 11 is where we're going to pick up tonight. I cheated and went ahead and filled all this out, so I'm just going to slowly scroll up as I go. All right, Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, "Strengthened with all might." This is, again, the things that Paul is praying for the church. It's his desire and prayer for the church that they have these things that he mentioned, walking worthy of the Lord and all those things, and strengthened with all might. This strengthening with all might takes place in the inner man. And the one to do that work is the Holy Spirit. He's the one that does the work. Brother Stephen is covering the Holy Spirit right now in Sunday school. And there, man, that is a subject that if we just stayed on it till the Lord come back, we wouldn't finish it. And he's going to go his allotted weeks, and then he's not going to get through all of it and have to pick it back up again later. But what a wonderful, wonderful thing it is that the Holy Spirit does for us, that he could strengthen us with all might. Our cross-reference for that is Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 16. Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. So comparing Scripture with Scripture, we see that the Holy Spirit is the one that strengthens us. And it's the inner man that's strengthened. I know many of us tonight are tired. I'm tired, and there's others. Our physical body gets tired at times. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit can strengthen that inner man and help you keep going another mile down the road. And that's a prayer that Paul had for the church at Colossae. And because he had to pray this prayer for the church, tells me that you can become weak in this area, even on the inside. That you could become weak and just get weary and well-doing, the Bible says. Brother Bowen, if you would, I left my notes on my desk also for the book of Colossians. If you would grab that for me, please. I apologize. There's a lot on my desk, so hopefully you can find that too. But the riches of his glory being strengthened with might. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit does that for us. This work has nothing to do with the flesh. The flesh has no desire to serve God. If you left the choice up to your flesh, even tonight, some of us wouldn't be here. If we left the choice up to our flesh, there's a lot of things we wouldn't do if we let our flesh determine whether or not we're going to do it. And there's a lot of people that are not here tonight because they allow their flesh to make that decision. There's things that we do to get ourselves in trouble all the time because we allow our flesh to make decisions for us. And so this strengthened with all might that takes place in the inner man by the Spirit of God, and we feed that inner man. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God. That's it. Thank you. He uses the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God. He uses spiritual songs, hymns and spiritual songs. He uses those things to strengthen the inner man. When we begin to think about Scripture and what all God has done for us and the blessings in our life and all the things that He is, not just what He's done for us, but who God is, and the fact that He would spend time with us and desire to meet with us, those are examples of things in my life that strengthen the inner man. I was sitting last night just thinking about just little things. Like, man, God has been very good to me. And I'm very thankful for it. And we all have those moments where we could talk about the things that God's done for us. But every now and again, if you spend enough time in Scripture, you'll begin to think about who He is. Not just what He's done for you, but who He is and how wonderful He is. He's a holy, righteous God. And the fact that He would have anything to do with us is a wonder. And so, being strengthened, this has nothing to do with your flesh. There is a lot of religious groups today that their motives behind what they do, and I know beating a dead horse at this point, but it's the feelings of the flesh that drives them to do something. Well, I'm here to tell you that there's some days I don't feel like doing anything. There's some days, even as a father or husband, that I don't feel like doing what I need to do. But I thank God there's a Holy Spirit living down in me that gives me strength day to day to do right, to do the things that please the Lord. And because of that, He can send conviction to my heart or remind me. Miss Melanie had a great illustration in her prayer letter during Thanksgiving and Christmas. Who doesn't want to be home? We don't blame her for wanting to be home. She was there in Papua New Guinea while her family was meeting together, and she said, man, I miss my family. And then she got to lead all these young ladies to the Lord. And God, the inner man, this is what we're talking about right here. She spelled it out on paper. The Lord said to her, the Holy Spirit spoke to her and said, this is why you're here. And she said, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, praise the Lord for it. So it has nothing to do with the flesh. The flesh does not have a desire to serve God. All right? According to His glorious power. According to His glorious power. This power is not of man, but by the power of God. And it tells us that this strengthening with all might is a work that God does in you. It's not a work that you do. If it was something that we did, or we could harness this power, it would be a dangerous thing, and we do wrong with it, not right. Who is the man over in the book of Acts? I don't have this in my notes, but what was his name that wanted to buy the power of the Holy Spirit? He wanted to buy the Holy Spirit. Anybody remember his name? Amen. Y'all do know the story I'm talking about, though, right? They're going around, they're healing, they're doing these things, and people are, you know, and he's like, hey, I want what you have. How much money will it cost? I'm not sure, it might be. And so he was wanting to buy that power. Well, the strength that we have as a child of God is not because of how great of a person you are. It's not because you're faithful to church on Wednesday night, and thank God for it. It's not because of anything you've done. It's by His glorious power. And what a glorious thing it is when you think about the power of God. That could be a whole other message for another time. Not of man, but by the power of God. Strengthened with all might. That's a work done by the Holy Spirit. We cross-reference Ephesians 3:16. According to His glorious power, unto all patience. Unto all patience. We talk about patience. Brother Stephen talked about it during Sunday school, about this prayer for patience, that we go into it and we say, Lord, as kindly as you can, as smoothly, as easily, will you give me patience? You know, they warn you, be careful what you pray for. And then all of a sudden you start praying a little more detailed. We start giving God a very bullet point detailed list on some things. But we're talking about this patience being strengthened with all might according to His glorious gospel unto all patience. This is so that you may be enabled to bear all your trials without murmuring. It is only the power of God that can enable us to do that. There's things that people in this room have gone through that most people don't make it out of that without being drunks, drug addicts, taking their life, whatever. Amen. They just can't do it without the help of God. And that's what Paul is praying for the church at Colossae. And I mentioned back when we started this list of this prayer that these are things we ought to pray for ourselves, and they're things we ought to pray for one another. I don't know what to pray for brother so-and-so. Emma is trying her best to figure out who brother and sister so-and-so is. And she's like, they are always in trouble because every preacher preaches about brother and sister so-and-so. She leaned over one day when somebody else was preaching and said, Daddy, who is brother so-and-so? Because he gets talked about a whole lot. But whenever you don't know what to pray for brother so-and-so, or we'll put a name to it, when you don't know how to pray for brother Bowen, you could just read this and say, God, would you please help him with these things? Because you know what? I would want you praying that for me. Praying that God would give me strength in these areas to deal with things. People today are not patient. Go anywhere. Anywhere you want to go. The gas station, the grocery store, the restaurant, most of our homes. People aren't patient. And if we're going to get patience, it's going to come from God strengthening the inner man. There's some people that the only way we can put up with them is God gives us patience, the strength on the inside to have some patience with them. I'm not talking about your spouse. Oh. That may be the case. Unto all patience. If we really think about this prayer that Paul has for the church of Colossae, it's really a wonderful prayer, wonderful thought that we'd have to be able to pray for each other. And then he mentions long suffering. Unto all patience and long suffering. There's so many verses that we could go over when it comes to some of this stuff, and I'm not trying to get off course too much. Long-suffering, to be slow to anger, not easily provoked to wrath, to be ready to forgive injuries. That's the definition of this word long-suffering. To bear long and with patience all reproaches and persecutions for the sake of Christ and His gospel, all which require daily fresh supplies of grace and strength. Paul's prayer here, being strengthened with all might according to His glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering. It takes a lot of inner strength to go a long way with somebody that you don't care for or don't like, or if you feel like you got your feelings hurt. It takes a lot. It takes some spiritual maturity. The devil, when he wants to get in a church, he's just going to start picking off one person at a time. He's going to get this person upset at this person. And you know what the end game of all that is? All those prayer letters we have there, the prayer letter I read tonight, the missions going all over the world out of this church. The gospel not going out if he can get people fighting against one another. And what's sad is he's successful at doing that. He puts thoughts in people's minds and all those kind of things. Long-suffering, slow to anger. Sometimes we need to take a step back when we feel ourselves getting upset or that we've had an injury. Talking about injuries, I'm not talking about physical injuries. I'm talking about emotional injuries. Taking a step back when we feel like we've been hurt and saying, Lord, would you help them and help me? And this thing's about your glory and your honor. It's not about me. The Bible tells us over and over again that God's going to right all wrongs. So if we've been wronged, it might truly be an injury. It might truly be a wrongdoing. God will make it right. Who are we to stand in the way of the gospel going out? Or stand in the way of people getting help because we've been hurt? Now listen, I'm not downplaying hurt. People get hurt. It's a real thing. I hear people that are hurt all the time. But it's bad whenever we won't allow the Holy Spirit to strengthen us on the inside, and then we end up hurting the work of God because of our hurt. God can give us grace and strength. That's why this prayer that Paul prays for the church of Colossae, I have down here, it requires a daily fresh supply of grace and strength. That's what we started with, strengthen. Strengthen with all might. You can't get up one day and ask God for strength in the inner man and feed him with the Scripture and then go 2 weeks without ever reading your Bible again or ever trying to pray for that strength or draw from that strength. It'll wear out. You get it one time and you feel real spiritual, and that stuff leaks out of us. And we got to stay in it. Because this old flesh, I hate this flesh. But it gets in the way. Paul's praying this thing. The last part of this prayer is long-suffering, watch, with joyfulness. This stuff doesn't make sense to the world. How does hurt and long-suffering and going through pain, how can you relate that with joyfulness? When you talk about long-suffering, the word suffering is in the word. You've been done wrong. You've been injured. But long-suffering means that you put up with it for a long time. You put up with that hurt and you go through it. And the only way we can do that is with the strength that comes from the Lord Jesus Christ, the strength of the Holy Spirit inside the inner man, not in your flesh. Your flesh will fail you. If you put trust in your flesh, it'll fail you every time. What do they say when somebody gets mad and they fly off the handle? They say he was in his what? He got in the flesh. I've heard that before. They got in the flesh. We're not supposed to walk after the flesh. We're supposed to walk after the Spirit with joyfulness. So it doesn't make sense to the world that somebody would be done wrong and they would keep their mouth shut about it and give it to God, and they would forgive even when forgiveness wasn't asked. And not only would they do that, but they would do it with joyfulness. That doesn't make any sense at all, does it? I've been done wrong, or I'm hurt, or I've gone through some things. I've gone through health problems, whatever it is, marriage problems. I've got all this going on, and I'm going to forgive because Christ has strengthened me, and I'm going to do it with a smile on my face because God's just good, with joyfulness. This carries the idea of rejoicing to be counted worthy to suffer shame for His name. This requires strength above that of the natural man and a renewed supply of that same grace daily. I've met people that have been done wrong. How they might say it out in the world is they've been dealt a bad hand in life. It seems like everything that they've done has caused injury to themselves and others, but yet they still show up to church and they got a smile on their face, and there's a peace that passeth all understanding. It's like, how can one person go through this much and they still have a smile on their face? You know how? Strengthening the inner man. I mean, I've seen people that just physically can barely get around. They've just been through so much, but yet they give God glory. And there's a peace that passeth all understanding. They don't complain. And you know what? Those people, they hardly ever talk about themselves. Why? They talk about Jesus. They talk about others. I've met people before, man, just real broke down, and you just know they've been through so much, and they're asking me how I'm doing. And I feel bad. I'm like, man, what about you? But they don't talk about themselves. Why? Because inner strength. God just gives them what they need to go day by day. Rejoice to be counted worthy. Paul asked for his thorn in the flesh to be removed 3 times. And when it wasn't, he said that he thanked God for it and said, it's for your glory and your honor. Your grace is sufficient for me. You know what that is? That's inner strength. God's glorious power, patience, long-suffering, with joyfulness. Paul was an illustration of this. This prayer is something that we need to pray for ourselves. All right, verse number 12. We'll try to finish this verse up for tonight. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Giving thanks unto the Father. So all these things that Paul's praying for the church of Colossae, he kind of shifts gears here and says that we need to give thanks unto the Father. Paul is praying that they not forget to be thankful for the blessings that they have been given. Wake up in the morning, God, I have to have your strength today. You do a devotion, read your Bible, pray, go through those things. The Holy Spirit strengthens you for the day. You get through the day. You know what you ought to do at the end of the day? Lord, thank you for helping me today. Giving thanks. It was mentioned several times tonight in the prayer request. We ought to have as many praise reports and praise given to God as we do prayer requests. And you know what? Some of the prayer requests don't get answered the way that we think they should, but to God be the glory anyway, because we pray for His will to be done. Giving thanks. So we start off, and you know what? It might not be a bad idea when you get up in the morning, before you even ask for the strength of the day, before you put on the armor of God, to say, Lord, thank you for getting me through the night. Thank you for my family that's here. Giving thanks unto the Father. He deserves all the praise and glory and thanks we can give Him. You cannot tell Him thank you enough. Talked to a preacher the other day that's just real zealous about wanting to serve the Lord, and he made a mistake in his zealousness. And he apologized for making the mistake. It was nothing sinful. He got overzealous about something. And he said, Brother Earl Hughes used to say all the time, I don't think the Lord's going to get mad for me loving Him too much. He's not going to get upset for you thanking Him too much either. He enjoys the praise of His people. Philippians 4:6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You know, this is saying every prayer request you have ought to have some thanks in it. With thanksgiving. That's not just talking about the great meal once a year. It ought to have some thanks in it. Go to God, and nothing wrong with asking for things. But we need to make sure we give him praise and thanks for everything that he's done for us. All right, he said there, made us meet. Made us meet. Give me thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet. We're going verse by verse through here. This is the sense of a match. I guess a word that we would use today would be mate. Our salvation has made it possible for us to be partakers of the inheritance. I don't think sometimes we fully grasp what happened to us the day we got saved. He made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance when we got saved. The inheritance is connected with our salvation. You receive this inheritance when you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. This inheritance came with your new birth, and it is reserved for you in heaven. Reserved for you in heaven. I want to very quickly, I'm probably over my time. Very quickly, I want you to look at a couple verses real quick that are not in your notes. So this inheritance that the Bible's talking about in chapter 12 or chapter 1 verse 12 is a spiritual inheritance. This is an inheritance you receive the very moment you got saved. This is not talking about the inheritance that you can earn, which is a physical inheritance. When it talks about ruling and reigning with Christ, when it talks about rewards and crowns that will be given, that is a physical inheritance that you can lose. My dad got sick a few weeks ago, and at first they thought he had a stroke. They didn't know what was going on with him. And my lovely sister started yelling something about the will. I'm partially messing with him. Dad, is your will updated? Man's laying on the floor in the hospital, and Emily wants to know if his will's updated. She's not here to defend herself. People can be taken out of wills and put them back in will. And so, let's look real quick. I've got write down Galatians 3:18 as a reference to go with this. Galatians 3:18, because I'm out of time. I need to finish. All right, write down Galatians 3:18 and Ephesians 1:18. Those two references have to do with the spiritual inheritance that has a connection with this verse, Colossians 1:12. Okay? It is not to be confused with the literal physical inheritance of Romans 8:17 and 2 Timothy 2:12. So when you see these things, we don't need to confuse yourselves with it. And I'm saying this for a reason. Give me a second. Look at 2 Timothy 2:12 real quick. 2 Timothy 2:12. So this partakers of the inheritance that is in Galatians 3:18, Ephesians 1:18, Colossians 1:12 is an inheritance that you received the moment you got saved, and nothing will undo it. Nothing will take away from this this spiritual inheritance you receive. And next week we're going to go over what that inheritance is. You probably can read ahead in your paper there. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 12 says, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. That is talking about the reign. It's talking about the physical reign with Christ. It's talking about rewards. And also over in Romans chapter 8 verse 17, it talks about this literal inheritance. That is the thing, as we serve God, we have an opportunity to earn rewards. The earned inheritance of these of the physical things. And there's things we can do to lose out on those. And if you confuse the two, or you mix the two together, the spiritual with the physical, when it comes to inheritance, then that's where you get the Church of Christ, the Presbyterian Church, the Catholic Church, the Methodist Church, Episcopalian Church, the Lutheran Church, and a lot of other churches that believe that you can lose the fact that you're a partaker with Christ, that you can lose your salvation, that you can lose the spiritual part of your inheritance. And that's why they teach those things, because they mix the two together. You have to understand that when you got saved, there's some things that took place that you received immediately that will never be undone. And that's what we're going to go over next week, Lord willing. But then there's also a side of this thing that if we rule, or if we do well down here, that we can earn rewards and opportunity to rule and reign with Him. That's another part of the inheritance. All right, let's stop there. And Lord willing, we'll pick it back up next week. I should have another handout for you because we'll finish this pretty quickly, I hope, next week. All right, let's all stand. Thank you for being good listeners tonight. Hope you're enjoying going through the book of Colossians. If anybody needs the notes to fill in on the paper, I'll leave this up here and you can come up here and we'll fill them out if anybody would like to do that. Or you can go back and watch the classes online. So, Preacher Bonds, will you close us in prayer tonight?